Hey, everybody, it's Eric Balance coming to you with the Resilient Minds podcast, where I feature beautiful entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts in their field, where they help us discover their X factor, their experience of life, only to discover how they were able to accomplish and find out their Y factor, their big Y, their purpose in life. So join me as we get to discover the beauty of our minds and how can we really continue to go after the biggest and most wildest dreams while we continue to pursue and manifest our greatest intelligence that comes from the heart. Also, if you haven't, go check out the new alignment course that I've created at www.ericbalance.com/alignment, A-L-I-G-N-M-E-N-T. See you on the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Resilient Minds podcast. I'm sitting here with a dear friend of mine that I had the pleasure of getting to know when I lived in Ibiza, Emmanuel Cape, bro. Thank you for coming on, bro.
Thank you so much for having me today, Eric. It's a pleasure to be with you on your show.
I'm super excited to bring you, you know, and really connect deeper with you and, you know, really having this capacity to, you know, share with everybody your intelligence, because, you know, as the founder of Tulum Crypto Club, I know that you're starting now Ibiza Crypto Club, you know, this last summer really has like started and ignited, you know, really bringing this identity of the freedom rebel, which I really love. I think it's super important part of, especially our values as humanity, you know, be focused on this development of freedom and cultivating that on a regular basis. I just wanted to like, first of all, just say thank you because, you know,
thanks.
You really spread a beautiful message. And, you know, just before I hit record, having this ability to share beautifully about the importance of us delivering content online and how much work it is and how much, you know, we follow this deep desire of wanting to, you know, serve the people that follow us, the serve the people that are communicating back and forth with us. But before we get into all of that, because, you know, I know you've done 1,000 beautiful things, bro. You know, and I know you're a father and passionate about life, you know, you have all these like great attributes. I want to ask you, bro, like what started, where did it, you know, what really was the experience? You know, I know today you're sitting in Tulum, but how did this, you know, this really start to find this deeper awareness within you and what contributed to this discovery, this like, what was there some sort of a key development or some sort of an experience, you know, take us back. So like anybody that's learning from you today can really fine tune and understand, bro.
Well, thank you first of all for like introducing me that nicely and appreciating what I do. I also appreciate what you do. And I see you like going to Dubai and you're bringing, I love you on the stage thing with your hat on and, you know, the Tulum and the Ibiza vibe bringing you there. I think that's super necessary to share also this like kind of nomadic boho vibe to bring it a bit to Dubai world. And we're like kind of ambassadors of this lifestyle, I would say. And this is great to see. And in terms for me, I mean, you know, I'm also like everybody else on the journey of life, and I have my ups and also my downs. Lately have been also more like difficult times, especially due to crypto and, you know, personal things, financial world, everything has been a bit suffering. But looking back, when did it all start? I mean, if there's something that I have to, some moment that I remember where my question of life started really, or my more conscious one was, I would say maybe 8 or 10 years ago, I had a girlfriend. She was very into all the holistic world. She was is a yoga teacher actually still. And she introduced me to something called human design. I don't know if you ever done.
Yes.
Human design. Yeah. you like it probably. Your smile is big. And it was channeled by a guy in Ibiza actually, like, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago. And so I was in Ibiza, and then I decided to have one of these readings about human design. Came out, I'm a projector and 5'2 or 5'3 or something.
Which
like
one
that.
Are you?
Projector.
Amazing.
Yeah, projector. So that was quite interesting, like to have this reading. It was like 2 hours, and this guy was telling me so many things about me, or let's say about my chart and about what he believes or what he believes that I, my abilities and all these like tricks and all these details. And it was really, really amazing to see that and to hear all of this. It was the first time that I opened myself up to a reading. I never had a reading, astrology reading or a hand reading or tarot, nothing like that. So it was the first time I really like kind of stripped myself naked and said, okay, look, tell me what you think. Yeah. And that was really something like changing for me. I remember driving back by motorbike in the wind. It was like all my thoughts, and it was really the start of me questioning myself. Who am I? Why am I here? I was not happy with the business I was in. I was in some kind of event business, and I realized there, okay, Manu, maybe there's much more than just like money and business and ideas and creating things that are not making you happy, but maybe there's much more that you can give to the world that is not this. I remember this guy saying, like, you're playing too small. You should be playing bigger space, think big. Because I was doing like little events for people. And so that really opened my eyes. And from that moment, I think I started like opening up myself, researching and reading books and traveling and finding out. And I have not stopped since then. There's times maybe I do more inner work, let's say so. Or maybe more, I'm super happy they started that, and it showed me really that there's so much to learn about ourselves, and that's why I'm always motivated to share a bit of the things that I find out, because again, I'm not at the end of my journey, and I find out new things every day, and I want to share them with other people to sparkle these little thoughts of like, okay, questioning them, changing things in their lives, and becoming better versions of themselves. While I improve myself also.
I think this is something that, you know, we've defined, you know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, it's like we're so conditioned to like get to some sort of an outcome, right? And really forgetting about the part of the experience of like really going through the magic of like the lessons and the mirrors and the triggers and all of these magical points that were going to teach us. But I didn't realize, I think, for the longest time, and what you said is like this inner work, right? Mm-hmm. And I really want to just touch on that for a second, because this inner work, this path that we have the courage, like we weren't taught to do this inner work. This is not a teaching. This is not something that's very regular in you know, in society to like take a look at yourself and really take the responsibility. What like brought you, brother, to create that awareness of taking more responsibility and going inside?
It was funny because it was the same person that triggered something in me. Like I had a situation where I had a little bit of a different situation with my father. We were not, he was doing things that I didn't want him to do. Like he was not traveling to visit me to Ibiza, and I was getting upset about it, and he would promise and then he wouldn't come. So I was always in this struggle about that. And I remember that woman, she was saying at some point, because she was seeing that I was getting a bit mad about it. And she just said to me, like, it's not all about you. It's not all about what you want in life. Everybody's different and have their own values. And when she said that to me, suddenly like the coin fell, and I realized like, okay, so it's not all about me. So it's about all of us. And this really helped me to start getting insight. And then life somehow brings you the right people into your life to always trigger things out of you that maybe make you feel uncomfortable first. But then on the long run, you realize they are actually good for you. And again, it happens to me yesterday and the day before. And I have things that are like, I struggle with. And then I remember, okay, yeah, it's also good for the learning. So this really was for me also a turning point to realize, okay, there is much more to realize about myself.
Bro, I love this deep awareness, and I think it's very, it's far and few between, right? And especially like us really taking the time. So I'm curious now, when you go through these deeper inner works, and now you have identified this, because now you're creating more of this awareness every time that you walk into a room, or there's a mirror that shows up, a person or a trigger, and your initiative of taking responsibility is a lot faster than maybe it used to be, right? Like, it's not like you said, it's not all about you. So you start to like internalize it. And now with things that are very grounded. So now like really focusing on grounding, you know, being a father and traveling between Tulum and Ibiza and other places around the world, you've cultivated, you know, the crypto clubs. How has that benefited now taking some of this knowledge and grounding it into like a resourceful perspective and business using content creation? Because we talked about the importance of that. So I just want to really touch on the importance of how that bridges your freedom lifestyle and your deep internal awareness using, you know, the connection with content with your community and your audience, and also implementing that through, you know, the events that you do through crypto and the education that you provide through crypto.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, because it's so many things twined together.
Yep.
I believe like thanks to content creation nowadays, what you can do is you can put things out there and people already seem to know you. I mean, I see people, yesterday it happened to me on the street, it was so funny. I was there and one girl, she stopped me. She was like, "Hey, you look like Emmanuel Cape." the guy from Instagram is called Freedom Rebel. I'm like, "Oh yeah, I heard that name." I told her, she said, "Yeah, he's a friend of mine." And then she just like kind of walked away a little bit, and I didn't know her, you know?
Yeah,
but it's funny because like she was really like sure that she knows me, you know?
Yeah.
But clearly she didn't know, because it was me. So
somebody.
Somebody, yeah. A friend of mine was next to me, we laughed our ass off, you know. But that gives you the perspective that people seem, they think they know you. Yeah. Because they're following you, they're following your story, your ups and your downs, they see your child, they see where you are, who you hang out with. So kind of you get familiar to them. They become like your friends. You become friends to them. I have people who are like, we're having conversations with likes, with comments and so on. And it's a relationship. So that content creation helps for people to get to know you, even if they've never met you. And I often meet people who have followed me, and that it's much easier conversation because they already know what you do, who you're with, what you've done. And that is something very positive, I believe, because you can come somewhere and don't have to explain yourself too much. You know,
yeah, you build that immediate trust. It's like,
exactly.
Trust. Yeah.
Yes. I've seen you hang out with this person. So it means that maybe you're trustworthy, or that you do these kind of things. So you don't have to explain yourself. I mean, remember before when people were like, "What do? You had to like explain your whole curriculum. Now more or less people know what you do, where you're at, and then it's much easier. So that's already like a virtual business card in like videos and words. Which is great, you know, that opens a lot of doors. In Tulum, luckily, when I go somewhere and some people, they know me, it's much easier. You know, you get better attendance, people introduce you to other people, you get invited to events, you get invited to hotels, to I don't know, gatherings. And this is amazing because you have done the work previously, or you're doing the work every day constantly with creation of content. So that is something that is really interesting and helpful, because you can get also in different industries. For example, if I would be interested in real estate and I would say, "Hey, I want to go into real estate," I think I would have a much better chance now than before was content creating, because I can reach much more people. So maybe I can sell much easier. So these are all the aspects that are positive about the content creation, which I think is something that can help us in digital nomad lifestyle. And connecting with people directly.
If if somebody feels like they don't, you know, they don't know necessarily their value, right? Like, so what was it about, how did you start talking more about, you know, this inner journey, but also creating, you know, events in person about crypto? Like, what was it that kind of spurred the interest for yourself, so that if anybody that, you know, is uncertain with their own way of starting, maybe there's some pieces that you can offer for anybody listening that can give them a little bit of a blueprint? What do you think? Any suggestions?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm a very much a person, a people person. So I love the physical presence. So for me, it is always important not to have just virtual connections, you know, like, I mean, I'm into crypto, this whole metaverse thing, Web3 and so on, all is great, but I want people to still live their lives in the physical world, not just to be on a computer all day and live in a AI reality. This is not what I want. So that's why for me, it was important to create something physical where you can meet each other, see each other, touch each other, kiss each other, whatever you want to do, and still be like in the same topics. In this case, it was Crypto Club, and it just started very easily because I wanted to get to know more about crypto, because I was not so big into crypto when I started the Crypto Club. I just was so interested into it. So I was like, okay, if I'm interested into it and you are interested into it, let's meet up and let's talk. And for sure, we're going to like exchange some information we didn't have before. And it was in a physical form here in a restaurant close by called Holistica in a resort. And then from two people, we were three people and four people and five and eight and 10 and 15. And suddenly it like start growing just like, the tree of life, branches and new branches and new leaves and so on and fruits. And this is how it went. The beginning is always the most difficult part, you know, like the starting. But then suddenly when you involve other people, it starts organically. And this was the beautiful thing about it, that we even did a festival last May, which attended around 800 people from all over the world, Tulum Crypto Fest, which was a really, really nice event. And I have amazing partners and we created something very special. So it shows that in a matter of short time, you can create amazing things if you commit to it and if you do it. And again, I'm not the most committed person in the world with many things, but in that case, we just stick to it and it grew beautifully because it was the community. It was about the people, and people felt safe and felt understood and felt supported. And often it's about that when you create a community, whatever it is, if it's just a crypto club or if it's a football or whatever it is, it's the community that coming together once a week, twice a week, three times a week, where you feel safe and you have your physical friends that you can rely on. And most of the people that we hang out with in the crypto club, we also do things all time together in other events. So it's not we just meeting for that. You have a base of a big family in the end that you trust and you can do things with. And that has been really great. And I'm grateful for that. Yeah.
These are foundations, bro, that are evident, self-evident, by the way, because I can see, like, because community comes to you at like a very integral state, it comes from some deeper sense of family dynamic. And you touched on before things to do with your father, right? And so I want to bring that kind of together right now, because my curiosity is about, is it because like you wanted to see more of this time with your father and you had this dynamic where you wanted to have that narrative where he was going to come and spend more time with you, that this family dynamic now, especially now being a father, is it now where you're also wanting to create more of that community because you feel that centeredness, that structuredness, that ability to create that space is really a powerful component that maybe was missing in the past and you decided to kind of step into that? I'm just curious to know about this.
It's a good point. I mean, I guess for sure when you know, there's some people, some people, they have like daddy issues and some have mommy issues and so on. And I believe that for sure in my world, there was always this thing about my father. My mother, she was very present. She was very loving. She was very, even like very strong and masculine sometimes in the sense of like how she was acting. And my father, he was not so present. So yes, I think that there's something that that I or that men like me, we want to compensate and we want to create that foundation of like being there for others, because maybe our father was not as present as we have wanted it. So it's kind of like doing the opposite exactly to receive it. And I see it sometimes with my son. I mean, I promised myself like whatever happens with the relationship of my of the mother, I will always be there and I will support and I will provide and I will be present, even though sometimes I'm not that present because I'm into something else, but I'm physically there. And this is important for me to that people around me know, okay, I'm here. You know, if you need me, I'm here. And it's about the foundation of belonging, because I believe we all, in the end, we want to belong. You know, we want to belong and we want to rely on somebody. And of course, people also now use now much more the virtual world and internet and, you know, Instagram, and we belong there to groups and WhatsApp chats. And this is how we find our belonging. But for me, it is very important always to have this physical connection with people, you know, to hug each other, to see each other, to do things together, to watch sunrises or sunsets. Because we need physical touch, you know. If we desensibilize that, we will get really like non-human at some point, you know. And I think the humanness of coming together, the tribe, the fire is very important. I mean, sitting around the fire then developed into sitting around the television, and then now it's sitting around the cell phone, but it makes you more alone all the time because you can do it on your own. Before the fire, you were sitting 10 people. So it's good to do gatherings, physical ones, where you can sit around the fire, whatever the fire, the topic of the fire is, but that gives you this warm, this belonging together, this we are working on something together. And that's, I think, very tribal and very important to keep.
It really is. It's very rooted. It's very, you know, it's part of the unlocking of that deep potential of like what's in our source, what's in our heart. And I think that, you know, like you said, this tribal capacity of wanting to develop community or common unity, I always say, it cultivates a deeper awareness of wanting to like understand each other. I think that, you know, when you're in community or in common unity, you see different weakness and different strengths, and together you can really cultivate this powerful, abundant philosophy that, you know, illuminates, you know, power in small villages, small towns, organizations, corporate culture, nations, you know, the planet, right? So this really comes down to a philosophy of value and principle that are deeply embedded in us as humans. And so discovering this, because, you know, as a content creator, how do you effectively try to communicate these principles that are so instilled in you? What do you do? Is there some sort of a thing that you do, or is it you just being, or like, what is it that, you know, because people out there are thinking, okay, how, like, they're getting into their analytical minds. People are listening right now. And, okay, what can I do to like be more connected, have more sense of belonging, you know, because a lot of people want this. And remember, you know, a lot of us as humans, most people, we're taught to be stuck in our heads and not in our hearts. So what is it that anybody that's listening can feel to say, or just pay attention to, from your perspective, to really cultivate more belonging in their community, or ask for help, or do any certain kind of suggestions that you may have?
Yeah, I guess what you have to do is get more out there, you know, go out there, communicate more with people around you, if it's good, if it's bad. You know, we have this culture of positivity, you know, we want to always share positive things, we want to always be like only sharing the good news and so on. We're always, you know, we want to talk about life but not about death, because it's something bad, even though it's part of life and it's the ending, let's say, the ending of this life, maybe not of all lives. But so I think that generally we should like talk about everything, whatever it is, you know. Sometimes we are depressed, or we're not feeling good, or we had like some really bad, we made some bad decisions and allow life to different roads than we thought we would take, and or that we wanted to. And so it's important to not be ashamed of of sharing vulnerably whatever is in your life. You know, if it's good or bad, it doesn't matter, because somebody will always resonate with that. And this is something I've learned the last few months, because I've had like a lot of downfalls and a lot of like bad situations in the last couple of months in my life. It's been like more like a storm. And for some time, I thought I would go like silent. Like I went even silent. I didn't talk much online and so on. I needed that to integrate, which was okay. But then I decided, yeah, maybe it's good to share also some of those happenings with the world, because somebody will need this message. Mm-hmm. Also to see that it's not all roses and butterflies, not even in my life. And it's maybe the opposite of it. And to give this person hope. So I would say to anybody who wants to connect more with others, it's like share vulnerably who you are, what you do, how you're feeling. And somebody will be there who has the same situation as you, who needs to hear this, who can support you, who needs support from you. And this is the great thing, that life is such a magical labyrinth, that always you turn around in the corner and there's the next path waiting for you. And I guess many are right now in a moment of like searching for the new way and new situation, especially after COVID. You know, things have changed so much that many are still lost in their minds. So getting into the heart and feeling like, what is it that really makes me happy and that really I can give value to the world, and then work on that. This is something that I'm also doing at the moment, redefining what can I give to the world? What is my gift actually? And how can I also live through that? You know, we were talking about monetization before. Like nowadays, you can monetize almost everything. You just have to find a way how. And this is the big way to find out.
Well, I think that talking about our own experiences and being extremely vulnerable. You know, about, hey, you know, we're here, two content creators, about, you know, what did it take us to learn how to monetize our brilliance, our trust, our belief systems, and now learning that, hey, we needed to do this deep journey of becoming certain of the value we're giving, so that we can start to step out into the world and say, no, like, this is what I deserve, or this is what I deserve to receive. So these vulnerabilities that we've been able to walk through, right, and share with the world, and, you know, we're always learning, right, always. I think that this is, you know, this gives the people that we're that are listening to us as creators also the strength, right? Because I always say, it's like, you know, when we, and I'm sure that you probably feel this as well, through your own events, you know, when there is one person, you know, that stands up and speaks and shares openly, and there's a communication, there's a moment of presence, and there's 50, 100, 1,000, you know, 10,000 people listening to that being said and being openly vulnerable, that there's that deep level of presence and trust and resonance created in that simple, specific, because the person can relate to that moment, can relate to that scenario, can relate to that teaching, and bring it to their own reality, bring it to their own life, bring it to their own experience. And as a result, it literally creates a safe space for everybody in the room. And I think that there's so much magic in that. You can almost feel it, you know? You can almost feel that tangible feeling of safety that's created when somebody is willing to hold a space of sharing their insecurities or their vulnerabilities or their shortcomings, you know. And I think that we all have it, right? I'm the number one. Well, I will say I have so many, you know what I mean? The thing is, do you feel that there needs to be, as you know, as we're going through this journey ourselves, bro, do you feel now that we've learned how to do that, it's our responsibility to maybe cultivate and create spaces so people now have the feeling of safety, so they can also step into those shortcomings, so that we can hold that space and say, hey, like, it's okay, you know, we've been there too, you know. What do you feel about that? I'd love to just get your insights, because I think this is a really valuable topic.
I think that this is really a great one, because, you know, like lately I've been thinking about, okay, what kind of content do I want to do? Of course, I always want to do content that is like present, like where I am right now in my life. Sorry.
It's okay. Bless you. So, blessings are coming. Amazing.
Blessings. Yeah. So, you know, so I've been thinking like, what kind of content do I want to do? And how do I want to inspire? And then I was thought to myself, like, okay, what has been like most present in your life in the last months? And there has been struggle. There has been an insecurity. There has been anxiousness about the future. There has been, you know, doubt. All these emotions have been present in the last 5 months, even though it maybe didn't look like that online. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I was thinking like, okay, maybe this is something I should talk about. Because when you look at content creators and they're all like having the best time and traveling in Lamborghinis and this and that, and I don't know, making so much money and sharing the gains, and I don't know, Andrew Tate and all these people, then you think like, yeah, but it's such a big gap from me to these people. Like, how do I bridge that? You know, how do I get there? So I think it's important to share also like our like biggest mistakes, our biggest fiascos. Where did we not do good? And how did we get up from there, you know? So always when I meet people, I try to find out their deepest and lowest moments in life and to know how they got out from that. Because this can motivate somebody really on how to get out of the shitty situation they're in right now. Because, you know, just listening to somebody who has already millions on how they enjoy their millions and their mindset is great. But it's probably so far away from you that it's going to push you down even more. You know, if somebody has like, you know, 100 properties and making 100K a month and being so good, and you're making nothing a month, or I don't know, 2K a month, and you want more, it's difficult sometimes to keep up to that if you don't know that they were also struggling and how they got out of it, you know, mentally, not just like business wise, because business wise is a skill set you can learn. If exactly. You buy a course, you I don't know, you go to college online, but like mentally, how to get out of difficult situations and then like loops and patterns, this is something that affects your whole life. And that's why I think it's good to share also this kind of content. And as you say, create this space where people can just say, yeah, like I'm feeling like shit today and I've been not being motivated and I don't know how to get out of it. And it's okay. It happens to all of us. We are not born leaders. And perfect, you know.
Do you have an example that you would love to share about like some of the struggle or you know, experience that you've been through that feels a little in alignment that you feel like sharing that has taught you something over these last few months?
Yeah, I mean, generally being into crypto the last 6 months was not fun. I mean, I'm balls deep into crypto. I decided that I went out of almost every asset, no real estate, nothing. I'm still a believer of crypto. You know, I've been giving a lot of, not lectures, but like courses to people and explaining them what to do in crypto, how to get in, how not to get in. And from all the things that I teach people, for example, don't have so many altcoins, have your most in Bitcoin, don't have it on exchanges, don't trade. All these things that I teach people not to do, I've done myself, mm-hmm. You know? So I ended up like losing so much of my coins and my value and my money and so on during the last 6 months. And I mean, 3 days ago was another one, FTX. I had some money on FTX and it's like bankruptcy, you know? And then you think like you're teaching people something, but you're doing the opposite. So that was for me like questioning myself, like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Are you really like living integrated in life with integrity? Are you really like also praising what you preach, or how you say, or doing what you preach? So like, is it really something that you're doing right? And this has been for me a really big topic for me in the last couple of months. Like, how did it come to the point where it is now? That I have done so many wrong mistakes in the crypto world, And even though I knew the opposite was the better to do. So that has been a struggle for sure, because then financially suddenly you see yourself in a completely different situation than maybe 1 year ago. So things instead going up, they go down. So you have to kind of like readjust and reinvent yourself and like, okay, how do I want to earn my money right now? And how do I want to create abundance for my life and keep on living the lifestyle that I want to live? And this has been very present in my life lately. I've not been giving too much attention, but now since I arrived in Tulum, for me, it was like, okay, man, like get your head up and, you know, get straight, get organized and create from a place of like, you know, creativity. And not just from a lack or whatever, you know, like, okay, with an abundant mindset to get the mindset right. Because if the mindset is not right, we know we cannot go anywhere.
And yeah, so this is, I think, the beauty. So this abundant mindset, right, that you are referring to, I really see that comes from a place of alignment, of knowing, like, who we are and trusting in something that like we really have. For example, we've had like these like goals, like to speak on stage or to create events or like, you know, things that or paint, you know. I know that you had like a beautiful
art exhibition
in Ibiza, right? Like, so or music or philosophy, you know, these things are our deepest heart. Because I believe we're genuinely, when we follow the heart, we become the artist of our life, right? We start to paint the picture. And so do you feel that sometimes people, us included, you know, I know for myself, you know, I've gone down the route of, hey, like, you know, when I was really focused on the money mindset, I was creating, you know, I was marketing and I was not really passionate about it, and you could see it in my work. I wasn't super passionate about it right in the past, and so I went down that route because it was something that was monetarily creating
driven.
It was monetarily driven and it was creating the lifestyle that I desired, but it wasn't coming from here. And I think that what I'm hearing is a lot of this, like, out of integrity feeling for myself that, like, I was like, well, I need to go deeper. And so I went down that deeper journey to say, hey, like, I really love talking about the philosophy of our awareness of, like, how do we, you know, break these patterns down? What are we doing to really bring our key principles and values to life as investors, as entrepreneurs, as leaders? And how can we consciously lead a philosophy for the next generation so that we pass on these inherent new belief systems to the next generation? So this, and then as, you know, I started creating content with this, we start seeing this momentum. And I think that, do you think that there's a lot of people that, you know, we are, because we are in a, you know, you and I are very grounded individuals where we still want to play on this earth. We want to be like super connected to our spirit, but we still want to play here in this present moment.
Enjoy
the beauties of life, right? So people, you know, that I'm sure you and I have met, you know, we met in Ibiza, we've met a lot of people that are kind of playing in those different dimensions, and they have a very difficult time grounding, very difficult time bringing that unique philosophy of their own wisdom, because maybe it's for fear of not being able to receive the abundance that they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that if there was more of this commitment or resiliency to their mindset and their heart set to follow their heart, that there would be this more persevering reality that they could create, you know, by just trusting and knowing and continuing this purpose?
Yeah, that's the thing, because that's a good point, because I was actually talking about this with the mother of my son the other day. This deep trust, you know, because yes, we are desensibilized in our life because we are following the money, we are following the things that are the society tells us, or that we believe that are more easy to do, and then we don't have this trust in ourselves. Okay, like whatever I am or like I can, what I like, I can also make a living out of that. Yeah. So it takes, I think, a deep work in the sense of like trusting, you know, trusting the inner gut, that feeling that you are enough the way you are, and that you can do whatever you want to do. And it's not easy always. Huh? We talked about that, but I'm doubting sometimes. I was doubting, and then something funny happened that day, the same day, some like big, very big, like grasshopper, like very big like that. It just like flew to me, and it like went on my shirt, and it stayed with me, and it went up on my head. It was like 1 hour and a half with me, this grasshopper, you know, it was huge. Everybody was like, we're in a public place. It was amazing. And then I looked up, what does it mean in a sense of, you know, the spirit animals. Yep. And it says a lot about, you know, trust your instincts, your gut feeling, take a jump of faith, of leap of faith, and all these things. So that was for me like a nice symbol to say like, okay, we can trust him, you know. Sometimes we have just have to trust that we can create whatever we want to create with who we are right now. And yes, it takes a lot of strength, because you have to jump, you know, it's like jumping from a cliff. You have to have faith that it's deep enough that you're not going to die when you get into that water. And some, you have to take some things in consideration. Maybe you talk to somebody who has already done it. You see somebody jumping before, you look, maybe you go and test it yourself. There's certain tests that you have to do, but ultimately the jump, you have to do it with some kind of trust that it's going to be all right. And doing that in the society we have right now, we have much more tools than before. Because before, you would get the information either from your teacher, from some books, or from five people that you knew. Now you can research so much online. You have so much access to knowledge, also like ancient knowledge, that is amazing. So we are in a much better position than people before about how we can create amazing lifestyles. And we see, I mean, how many biographies have you read already, like Steve Jobs and I don't know, you name it, that have created incredible things from nothing, that before you couldn't. 50 years ago, you couldn't have that many autobiographies. So we have so many tools that we just need to use them. And the more we use those tools and the more knowledge we take from outside, the more trust we can gain. So it's also really an active thing that we have to do. You know, gaining trust is not just something blindly, it also can help with some elements that we can actually do. This is how I see it.
Do you think too, like, it's, you know, you mentioned something about like this external learning, right? Of learning from around you and outside of you. Mm-hmm. Being like somebody that also has done the deep inside work, right? Do you think there's also even a more of a knowing when you go inside, so that actually you become this magnet of opportunity when you go from a deeper perspective of understanding inside of yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I would not consider myself somebody who has done the work really deep. You know, like, I feel that I know people who have done very deep work, and I have big appreciation for those people who are really dedicating their path to this kind of things. I'm a lot in the outside world as well. I like to go out. I like to, you know, dance. I like to travel. So all these things, sometimes they make you be in the outside world, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not the kind of person who sits on the mountain and meditates for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, that. So I would say many things can be done much more all the time. But I would say that the more you dedicate yourself to that, the more you will understand. And the more you ask other people, the more you can take also that kind of information from others. That helps so much to communicate with others. So I would say that it takes a mix of both, you know, of the work from yourself, but also the communication with others, to get that wisdom, to get that knowledge, to access it. Because depends on who you are. Some people are easier to understand it by themselves, and some people, they like to be taught by somebody else that they trust. or that they look up to. So there's different ways of learning
a very different part. I sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I did.
No, don't worry.
So what I also see is like where they are in their journey, you know? And so it's like, because everybody's path, part of their journey, right? I think we learn from each other from different parts of our journey. And, you know, we learn where maybe more on the inside, we learn from somebody that's from the outside, but then vice versa, you know, and then it becomes like a like beautiful dance. And so we actually, as a result of going in, we attract the person that's more outside or vice versa. Again, it becomes this like beautiful reality that sometimes we think that it's all happening on the outside, but it becomes a very deep internal process just because the mirror is showing up for you in the current. And like you said, the communication is such an important part, because some people, the more aware you become, you start learning and being able to vibrate in resonance with the different individuals at a different dimension. And some people won't understand you, you know? So it takes a lot, I think, in our own experience to learn how to be sensitive enough to dance between all of the dimensions so that you can learn to communicate effectively, all of us, right, to each other. Because if I'm listening to you and I'm holding a deep presence, then I'm learning something from your world, right?
Yes.
And vice versa. I think this is the beauty of having mirrors, the beauty of having people around you, the beauty of being able to listen.
Yeah, and that's a great point. You know, I don't know who it was, maybe it was Osho or somebody else who was saying like, it's easy to be a monk on the mountain, you know, on a pink mountain somewhere, and meditate, and there's no distractions and no problems and nothing gets you. But the real monks, the real work is done when you go down to the city, when you're confronted with the smell, with the taste, with the loud noise, with the crazy people, with one wanting to steal you, the other one want to charge you too much. I don't know, the hostel is full, all these things, you lose your wallet, your passport, all this is when the real work is seen. So it's important, I think, to take this balance, you know, like Eric balance, to understand the two worlds, you know, to not to be too much in the wow metaphysics and out there, because we're still on planet Earth and catastrophes and things are happening in the monetary system, it's collapsing or whatever, to know how to dance with that. And this is something that I'm also always learning and sometimes struggling, and then I have better moments and worse. And it's okay, you know, like I come back in the evening and I go to bed and I'm like, I try to be there for myself and say, okay, you've survived another day, you've done great. And what can you do tomorrow? And know that there's so many people out there who are struggling more than me. And not that it makes me happy, but it shows me like, okay, you're doing good, you know, like keep on working on yourself and still enjoying life. As you said, the pleasures of life, all the beautiful things that are there out there and that sometimes distract us, where I think also we are also on this planet to enjoy, you know, to enjoy the pleasures. Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't believe at all in the non-pleasure culture, in this type restricting yourself with everything, you know, no women, no this, no that, everything is bad, you cannot eat this, you cannot eat that. For me, it's not what I'm here on this planet for, you know. If God gave me certain things, I want to enjoy them, and also if I want to take some psychedelics sometimes and do it, you know, I think it's amazing to really discover everything that is on this earth. And
life's a contrast, and enjoying the contrast is the gift to appreciate more of each other and more of life, you know, discovery. I think that, like you said, it's so important. And then it also helps us define ourselves, our character, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who we are this world. So exactly. Here's still a little bit early. I'm still yawning all the time because...
No, it's okay.
I know, you're also here on this side. I thought you were in Dubai all the time. Yeah.
Sorry. No. So, bro, listen, I'm curious to know, like, what's next for you and what's kind of moving forward? You know, I know you're going through this deep discovery phase. We both are. And it's really nice to kind of like attract each other at this time, because I know that our future is really bright.
Thank you.
And so tell me, brother, like, what's on the next, you know, what's on the forefront in the next 3, 6, 12 months for you?
So this is something that I'm trying to figure out right now, because I came back here and it feels like a little bit like after the COVID, like after the lockdown, you know, when suddenly everybody realized, okay, we need to do different things. The world is changing. We need to adapt and we need to get into new things. So I'm feeling a bit the same here, because as crypto had such a big hit for me, which was like my world for the last 2-3 years. And I feel like it's time for me to move on, not just to move away from crypto, but like to transform it, to let it have a different presence in my life. Mm-hmm. And also cultivating more my artistic side. As you said, I did an exhibition in Ibiza that was quite successful in the sense of how people enjoyed it. It was not on a monetary level. It was not successful because I really didn't think about selling. It was more about creating something that people enjoy and see how people react to it. You know, it was like a pilot project. And so for me, it's like, okay, how can I mix all these worlds together? Look, my artistic side, my financial interested side, my people side, all the things, how can I bring it together? So I have some ideas of some events, some gatherings that I want to create, and some experiences that I want to do, and still keep on like creating content and maybe getting a little bit more, or not maybe, just like really more serious about it and see, okay, what can I really do also to monetize it, to be able to really dive into it without having to think of other things as well. You know, like I do what I want to do, and I want to create, and I want to share knowledge and wisdom and experience and live through that. So this is my focus for the next months. There's no master plan yet, to be honest. It's like I'm in a phase of inspiration. You know, there's times I think where you can also tell yourself, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm going to get there. As you said, the future's bright. We don't know yet how, but we know that the light and the tunnel is there. And I know I will get there. I don't know if it's going to be by bicycle, by a motorbike, hitchhiking, but something will happen on the way that I have the faith that it will get me there. And this is where I'm at the moment. So suspension and suspense, you know, you will see.
I love it, brother. And know this, you know, my father is an amazing curator here in Canada. And, you know, he has a gallery and stuff like this. You know, our house, like my parents' house is like
I was wondering. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like artists and art everywhere, you know? So, and listen, if there's any way that, you know, we can support you and grow and whatever, like it's, there's a lot of great ways to enhance, but I really resonate with this, because, you know, even going to his gallery, I'm going to start going regularly with him to his gallery this week to paint more. So it's like, I just want to express, you know, and also to help him in like different, you know, because my dad's language is also, he's a brilliant business mind and he's a brilliant curator. And so it's interesting, because in the past, it was something that I didn't deeply resonate with. But today, like you're saying, by following this heart, like it's like, hey, how can I be more involved with you, Dad? Because I see where your brilliance is. You're so brilliant. And so it's funny that we're bringing up artistry right now, because literally tomorrow I'm going to start going with my dad regularly to the gallery. And
nice.
So I think that this is like something also for me that has been really exciting, you know, which is part of the journey. And I think that if there's any way that we can ever, you know, add value, you know, doing a show, whatever, you know,
it's sure. Here,
right.
Oh yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. And I'd love to know, bro, you know, with, you know, with crypto and everything, and this, I'd love to get your insights on just quickly about FTX. I know I don't want to cut us too long here, but
Yeah, sure.
I'd love to understand, you know, what you're, you, especially you being in the space for the last 2-3 years, FTX and Sam and what you see there. I'd love to get your perspective of what happened there. And you know, there's these discoveries, you know, I don't know if it's true or not, but, you know, I always take everything for a grain of salt with regards to the funding of
the Democrats. Know,
the Democrats and, you know, the World Economic Forum, a lot of these, like, you know, this type of money laundering and things like this. And I'd really love to hear from you, your perspective on all of these things, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Because I don't know, right? And, you know, I can only know what I read. But I know that you are more versed in this. So I'd be super curious to know.
So my opinion generally, I mean, as you also said, there is so many theories and things that can be possible. I don't know. I have no idea. I have my thoughts. I think with some time we will understand a few more things about the truth. Many things we will never find out. But what I can generally say, what happened to FTX is basically what could happen to any bank in the world. You know, like that people withdraw their money because of some scandal or some insecurity or some bug or some hack or whatever. And the people withdraw their money and suddenly the funds of this company, of this bank, just like plumb, they cannot pay and they go bankruptcy. Basically, this could happen with any bank. If now all the customers from Deutsche Bank want their money, they couldn't even pay all the people and the bank would go bankrupt in one day. So that shows me that even crypto banks are not safe. You know, people always think because it's crypto, it's different. It's the same in the end. And this was not the idea of Satoshi Nakamoto at that time when he wrote the, or he or them or whoever wrote the white paper. Yeah. It was a peer-to-peer cashless, you know, payment system between two people, let's say so. So that was the idea. That was not about FTX or Binance or any exchange. Which brings us back to the basics again, you know, like exactly. Not your coins, not your keys, not your coins. Go back to that and don't play around and trading and all these things. It shows me again how vulnerable the financial system is. And it just collapsed so fast because crypto is much more volatile because people have much more control of their funds. They can, you know, you can like move them so fast through the blockchain, you send them here and there. So people were able to withdraw it in a matter of minutes. That's why FTT went down so much that all collapsed. In the financial world, it's much more regulated and much more difficult to do that because it takes much more effort and amounts to do this. But because it's also much more physical. And that's why I believe like we're going to see many things unveiling. I don't think it was like a clean player. I think it was a dirty player also, many things in the back. I mean, all this funding and this like big investors and politicians involved and so on. And as you say, World Economic Forum, there's so much like dirty money there that I really don't even know how the depth of how dirty everything was really played. I know that many investors, young investors and small investors were fucked, sorry the word. And big players, they were probably benefiting from that. This is the very sad truth.
And Sam was the scapegoat.
Probably, yeah. He was perfect to do that, all the job for the big people, like it always is. And it shows me back. That's why I'm also backing up a little bit from the whole crypto game at the moment and saying, okay, maybe I want to just concentrate on my own little things again and be happy with that and not think too much in Web3 so far away and everything. And build it slowly again because there's a big difference between crypto and Bitcoin, you know.
And bro, anyway, I know we can talk about this for hours, and I know we can talk about this for hours because this is like another deep like topic. And
yeah,
one thing I would really, you know, for anybody listening is I think that if you think like if we had governance or the right principles that were inherited, right, from the foundational level by Sam or by anybody that started FTX alongside him, if these governance models were based off a more principle-based or value-driven meritocracy focused on, hey, like, what are we doing to come from this deep internal wisdom of knowing? Yeah. I don't think that he would have been able to take advantage of, because he was taken advantage of, I think, based off of the need of money, right? Creating money.
Sure.
And so these individuals, you know, like, you know, like we're talking about World Economic Forum, you know, Democrats, whatever, were able to manipulate based off of, you know, the oldest and most powerful product, the US dollar, manipulated again, you know, because studies show and propaganda shows and history shows that it's been manipulated for hundreds of years.
Yes,
because of the way that it's been you know, creating different stress around the world. So my curiosity is this for you, and this is my last question, then we can, like, you know, really wrap it up. Do you feel that moving forward, whether it's emerging tech, crypto, you know, even focusing back to the paper from Saratoshi, these foundational principles, right, need to be governed by some sort of a meritocratic principle that is deep, coming from a place of integrity, of something that wants to do good and create abundant mindset for the collective, not just for the egocentric
individual. For sure. And I think that was generally what I believe, genuinely the thought or the idea of this person or this group of people at that time.
I agree.
But we came back to, like, let's say, like,
traditional.
Yeah. For me, the same. Like, okay, then you trade and you make here money and you buy some shit coins that have no value and you trade them and you sell them to somebody else. And, you know, you do all these things because you think in your own pocket in the moment. It happens to all of us and it happens to so many. And that's why this is possible, you know, because if people were not so greedy, including myself, then this would not be in that scale possible to do, you know, because then people would have more in their Bitcoins in their cold storage and just, like, doing what they love and not trying to make millions with some affiliate programs or with some coins or whatever, or some NFTs. So, yes, it needs to come from a more integrity base, more like doing good in total. Mindset, and then it can slowly also grow. And then I still believe that crypto is not dead. It's just another wave of cleaning off the bullshit and going closer to where it really needs to be, you know, like the dot-com bubble in 2001 or 2000. And after that, the internet really started. All the bullshit was washed off, and then the real thing became reality. So I believe that it's good that it happens. And hopefully we can build some better foundations for crypto in the future.
For truth. Here we go. Bless you, brother. How can people find you? What's the best way to connect with you, reach out to you, find out more about you, brother?
So, when taking a screenshot. So the best way for me at the moment to contact with me is Instagram. It's the Freedom Rebel. Also, it's important to know that there's, like, scams, copy accounts. Every day people write me. Yesterday, somebody in person said to me, like, hey, you wrote me and then you didn't respond to me anymore. Why do you do that? And I was like, because it's not me. You know, like, I don't contact people for trading. It's only the Freedom Rebel, just like we read it. And this is the way to connect with me. I'm not using Twitter at the moment. I'm not having any other platform. I'm considering to go on other platforms, but this is the way at the moment. I have this one channel through which I communicate and in physical. You know, if you come to Tulum, this wonderful place on earth created by God, come to the Crypto Club on Wednesday. I'm always there. And on here and there, you will see me hanging around.
Where is the Crypto Club? Where is the Crypto Club on Wednesdays? Where in Tulum?
It's a place called Clio.
Okay.
Clio, it's on the beach, on the public side. It's a very nice spot. I mean, even if you're not into crypto, this place is magic. So just come hang out or just find us on Instagram, Tulum Crypto Club, and there is all the information.
Make sure you guys check out. Yes, bro. I might come down before the new year for a couple days. We'll see. If not, then definitely in the new year after Istanbul. So, brother, last question. If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do? 3 days left to live, what would you do?
I would invite all my people, all my friends to a house. We will all close the doors, take a lot of psychedelics, and enjoy ourselves. That's what I would do.
Brother, I really appreciate you, man. It's really a pleasure to connect with you. From the moment we met in Ibiza, it's been like almost a year and a half since we saw each other in person. So I really love to keep this connection, and I love that we can continue to be deep in our spirits and just stay truthful and honest and loving to one another, bro. I appreciate you, all the work that you do, the kindness that you are, and just thank you and bless your heart.
Thank you so much. Also to you for what you're doing, for wanting to share a positive message in the world. I think it's so necessary. You're doing great. Keep on doing it. We need more light workers and that speak out, that share in online and help other people also to, put these seeds on how to live better lives. So thank you also for that and for inviting me. I'm felt honored about that.
Likewise, brother. Thank you. We'll talk soon. Don't go anywhere, though, but talk soon.
Hey, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to The Resilient Minds. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please make sure to go comment and like and follow us on iTunes or Spotify. And make sure that if you really love this, to share this episode. And make sure that you're inviting all your friends to like it as we continue to unfold what the beauty of our minds does. More importantly, how powerful our heart level of intelligence can be when we combine our heart and our brain together. And more importantly, check out the alignment course that I've created. It's seriously there for you to take advantage of at www.ericbalance.com/alignment. See you on the next show.